Well, good morning. Morning for everybody out there online. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Today wraps fall break for many of us. And actually, my family and I, we got a chance to get away for a couple of days, which was great. But honestly, it was kind of a huge wake-up call for me as a dad, because honestly, we are in one of those seasons where it's kind of like the perfect storm meets the perfect spot all at the same time, meaning life is just crazy. And I get we're not the only ones. Many of you have crazy schedules just like us, but we've got kids going in all kinds of different directions. And so our oldest is in a play and has, you know, study groups and social life and all that kind of stuff. And then we've got the next three, they're in all kinds of different sports, from practices to games and the like. And then we got a three-year-old that we pull on all along the way. And then we've got, you know, I've got this job that, believe it or not, I don't just work on Sunday morning, right? I work kind of all throughout the week and through the weekend. And we got some discipleship groups and we're helping kids with homework. All this stuff's going on. And it's crazy. It's just one of those seasons that gets really, really crazy. And so when we got away for a moment, all of a sudden I realized, gosh, I've got to take advantage of this, you know? I've got to really push into this. And sometimes I get frustrated about the schedule and how life is all going on. And sometimes I push back on it, and other times I embrace it, because honestly, it's pretty cool to have this time with my kids. And I realize it goes really quick. And so there's great memories that are being made and quality time that's being had and accomplishments and so on and so forth. But as we got away, I realized I only got a couple more years of one. The twins, they leave not all that long after that. Some of you know the story. I've got a son who's struggling with all the things he's gone through, and to wrap his mind and his heart around all of that and understand the will of God and all of that and how God has a plan for him. And then I've got a three-year-old who's just being three. And so in the midst of all that, I realized that, gosh, we just got to get at it. As a dad, as my wife, we have to get at it. We have to disciple these kids. We've got to take every opportunity to grow them and mold them. And it's during a time when, honestly, I love hanging out with my kids most of the time. I mean, there are those moments. But I love hanging out with my kids. And yet, having fun is not the goal. I mean, I'll probably hear about this a little bit later. My teenagers are all online right now because, well, our schedule is crazy and had to come all kinds of different directions and times, even on this Sunday morning. But if my goal is to be the cool, funny, awesome dad, which they would say I'm definitely failing right now as I talk about it, I would be failing at my job. My job is to grow them and disciple them, is to help them become all that God wants them to be. And I was thinking about it, that idea of being a dad, a parent, is kind of similar of us as a church. And so I know I'm biased. I have amazing kids. I have an even more amazing wife. And I'm biased that we have an amazing family of faith here. I am thrilled to be your pastor. I'm honored to be your pastor. I'm blown away by the years before me, and I'm proud to be able to stand upon those years. And it's been a blast this last year, and I'm excited about the future. But at the same time, I start thinking about it, we got to get at it. I got a job to do, to grow you, to disciple you, and we can't get distracted by catering to you. You know what I mean? Because my job is to remind you that you need Jesus. My job is to challenge you to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. Because there's a greater purpose, greater goal. This morning, we finished the series called The Non-Negotiables, and it's a series where we've been looking at the things we stand upon, the things that we hold on to, also that we might best be able to point other people to Jesus, share Jesus with other people. And to be honest, these things that we've been looking at, these non-negotiables, they've been tough. But they're all biblical. But tough or not, we as followers of Jesus, we got to know them, we got to understand, we got to hold on to them, we got to live them out. We started with arguably the most important of them all, which is God's word over our words, that this is authoritative. This is what we hold on to. This is what we agree upon. This is where we always turn. But then we talked about what we're for over what we're against, that, you know, as we hold on to this, what the world needs to see in us is grace in Jesus. That's what they need to see, what we're for. Talked about together over alone, that God's plan A to deliver that grace and deliver his hope is through people like you and me. And we're to reach all people over only our tribe, because we're to have a heart for all people, because God loves all people. He created them all in his image. Then we talked about how we aren't to sell out or shut out, but instead we're to build bridges over building walls. And then last week, we talked about what happens when we all of a sudden start playing the part and we keep certain things in the dark, that it hurts us. But not only us, it kills the mission, and it hurts people around us as we unpacked authenticity over facades. Today we finish it off with one last one, and it's another doozy. Empower to disciple over cater to consume. Because see, our goal is not to put on a show so that people can come and sit back and consume. No, our goal is to make disciples. Our goal is to create followers of Jesus, actually make disciples that are in the process then making other disciples of Jesus. That's our goal. And so let's get at it. If you got a Bible, pull it out. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Now, I'm always amazed at the calling of the disciples. And here in Mark, we get one of the accounts of the calling of the disciples. And yet, if you've done any time in the Gospels, you would realize that Mark is much shorter than all the other Gospels, because he's a man of few words. You know, he just like gets right at it. And so when we get the account here of the calling of the disciples, we don't get a lot of backstory. We don't get a lot of fluff. You know what I mean? But maybe that's part of the point. Here's what we do get. If I can find it. There we go. All right. Verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, or we might know him better as Peter, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and he left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, when we see that Jesus calls a bunch of fishermen, we might go, wow, nothing really special, right? The world will look at that and go, huh, he could have done better. But honestly, this was a pretty strategic ask. He was recruiting some people that had already had some training. These four guys actually were already a disciple of a guy named John the Baptist. Maybe you've heard of him. He was a guy who was called to prepare the way for the Lord. And so these are guys that were passionate about God. They were passionate about God's people, focusing on God. And so Jesus comes by and he says, come, follow me. And what do they do? What does Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, do? They drop everything. They drop the nets. They drop the boats. They leave the father behind. They leave the business behind. And they go. Whoa. And you might wonder why. Why would they do such a thing? That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Just to leave everything and go? It's because Jesus was calling them to something so much more. He had a greater purpose for them. He was calling them to become a disciple of him. Now, do you know what disciple means? Disciple simply means learner. And so Jesus was calling them to be his students, to learn from him, to imitate him, to follow and be like Jesus, And they did that. They stepped up and they started to follow Jesus and learn from Jesus. And not just in a seminar or for a semester or to get a degree or to do some master class or something like that. No, a 24/7, 365 days a year kind of journey of stepping up and learning and following Jesus. Currently, I'm reading through the Gospel of Luke as I seek to be a learner and follower, disciple of Jesus. And I'm always amazed when I read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to dive into the disciples. I don't know what it is about it, but it's kind of, I try to put myself in their shoes. Wouldn't it be kind of cool to see what they saw and learn what they learned and experience what they experienced, you know, and do all the things that they did? I mean, anybody here ever want to be like, I don't know, there when they fed the 5,000? Wouldn't that be cool? Or I know, this one. Anybody want to be there when Jesus turned water into wine? Anybody wonder if that was Merlot or Chardonnay? I mean, I'm rooting for Merlot. And yet then I start thinking about, well, yeah, but there's other things I wouldn't have wanted to be there, like the storm on the Sea of Galilee or something like that. I mean, that would have freaked me out. Or when all of a sudden Jesus walked on water in the midst of Galilee, yeah, Sea of Galilee, all those things that would freak me out. And then I start thinking about, you know what? For all they experienced and all they saw, they were kind of slow learners, weren't they? I mean, how come after all they experienced, all they saw, that they then would say, no, Jesus, you don't have to die. No, we won't let you die. Yes, I gotta die. It's part of the plan. Why would they all of a sudden come up and go, hey, Jesus, can I be MVD, you know, most valuable disciple? Please, 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 please. And you can only imagine Jesus like, oh, man. But honestly, as I look at the disciples, all of a sudden it gives me hope. Because oftentimes, I'm pretty slow on the uptake, you know what I mean? Oftentimes, when I look at my life, I'm one of those individuals that take a few steps forward and a step or two back. I struggle with that. But honestly, maybe that helps us understand what Jesus really is calling us to. See, discipleship is a lifelong following and learning from Jesus. It's a lifelong kind of thing. It's not a class. It's not a degree. It's daily looking to Jesus and learning from Jesus. It's constantly realizing that I'm lost without Jesus. And it's not that Jesus comes in the flesh and says, hey, come follow me. But he does that. And in essence, he comes to you and to me and he says, I want that kind of relationship with you. I do. With you. I want you to follow me. I want you to take this off the shelf and open it up every single day. I want you to be a student of it. I want you to be hungry for it. I want you to constantly allow me into your life all the time. Talk to me. Talk to me. Pray to me. Allow me to be in your life. Because see, being a disciple of Jesus is more than just, I don't know, coming to church and marking the box, you know? It's more than just attending and consuming. No, he wants us to be a part of a relationship with him and a relationship with others where we can learn and imitate Jesus and it impacts and is integrated in all of our life. And yet as I look at the Gospels, then all of a sudden what I see that Jesus has called us to is something even more than just this lifelong journey. He's actually called us, discipleship is all about dying to ourself and imitating Jesus. Wow. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to Matthew 16. We'll get there in just a bit. But you know, I'm kind of blown away when I read through the Gospels on how the people really struggled to understand what it meant to be a disciple. You know, when they thought of Jesus calling them to be his disciples, they were thinking of things like, well, he's come to make us a great nation once again. He's come to make things easier, life easier and more convenient. You know, we want to find a king that's going to profit us, who's going to make us rich and going to make us powerful once again. And honestly, these are all things that we can easily get tempted into wanting to fall into also. And so today we struggle with our understanding of what it means to be a disciple. You know, this idea that it's not only this lifelong journey, but it's also dying to ourselves. And I get it, especially in today's culture. I mean, we struggle with it because, honestly, we have this consumeristic view of things where it's all about me. It's all about how it's going to benefit me, where our focus is completely on us. And so our same perspective that we have about, you know, this consumeristic view on how, you know, what store am I going to go shop for my groceries, or which school am I going to have my kids attend, or what sports program am I going to plug my kids into, or which dentist am I going to endure? That same kind of mentality can impact how we look at our own faith. I mean, we can even have the same kind of attitude towards our church of choice, like we have our restaurant of choice that you might go to right after church. But that's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Because think about it. Your restaurant, right? You go into a restaurant, and you sit down, and you wait for somebody to serve you. And so you come in, and you get your chips and salsa. Now you know where I want to go to lunch. And your Coke or your beer or whatever it is, and you sit down, and when your drink is empty, and it's been a while, you get a little frustrated. Anybody? Or even worse yet, when the chips and salsa are gone and they haven't refilled it, you get a little irritated. We have a family of seven. That happens like in a second. And so we might complain about how the steak was cooked, or how salty the soup is, or how slow the service was. And we might like, excuse me, can I have a comment card, please? Because a customer is always right. I mean, that's how we treat our restaurant. But now, think of this. And some of you, maybe this isn't applicable for you, but I still have my parents. But think of if you were to go to lunch to your parents today. You can't just come in and sit down and wait to be served, can you? No, you're family. You have a part to play. My parents are getting a little older, so I'm going to be having a bigger part to play, right? I'm going to maybe help set the table, get the butter out. I might help make one of the dishes for the meal. I might open a bottle of wine, right? And so I'm not going to sit there and go, you know, hey, Mom, the chicken is tough, and the mashed potatoes are bland, and you know, the veggies, they're kind of salty. And by the way, can I have a comment card, please? In my home, if I did that, my dad might give me something to comment about a little bit later. Now, when you're eating with family, you have a part to play because you're part of the family. You help out. You can't just sit there and go, hey, dessert? No, dad's going to go, hey, get out. Go to Dairy Queen. Go get your own dessert and don't come back until you get some manners. And I guess the point is we need to understand that this place, the people around you, this church, this family of faith, is to be a lot more like a family than your restaurant of choice. I mean, does that make sense? Because you have a part to play. You're a part of something more. And yet it's to be a functional family, not a dysfunctional family where we whine and complain and throw a tantrum when we don't get what we want or how we want or it doesn't look like we want. No, it should be a functional family. And we see throughout Scripture, we see this kind of illustration get carried out, right, where God talks about he's our Father and Jesus is our big brother and we are our brothers and sisters in Christ, that this is family. And yet I get it, that some of you are sitting there going, yeah, but I'm not sure how I feel about that, Pastor Dan, because there are a few people in this family that I'm not sure I really want to be a part of family. You know what I mean? And there's some new people that have been coming over the last year that I don't really know yet, and I'm not sure how I feel about them yet. You know, I'm not making judgments or anything, but I'm just not sure that I want to call them family yet. And by the way, you know, things aren't quite exactly how they used to be or how I want them to be or how I wish they would be. And to all that, I would say, yep, sounds like family. I mean, think about it, doesn't it? It sounds like family. We're, family's messy sometimes. Family is a work in progress. Family is not about a bunch of perfect people that are to be, you know, coddled and served and they just come to consume or they come whenever they feel like it. No. Family is to be a bunch of people, not so perfect people, that are committed to each other and serving each other and are dependent upon each other and are digging into the lives of one another and who are doing this thing called life together and focusing on Jesus together. That's what family is to be. And that's what we as a church should be. Power to disciple over catered to consume. You want to challenge me on that? Look at Matthew chapter 16, where there is no space for catering. Here's what Jesus calls his followers to do. He says this, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" And so when Jesus calls to us to come follow him, he's not asking us to go then, well, okay, but what's in it for me? How does it serve me? No, he says, come follow me. And it'll flip your priorities. It'll flip them upside down. It'll flip how you look at things. It will challenge and it will crush your consumeristic mindset, and it'll replace it with a Christ-centric mission mindset. And Jesus calls us to something so much more than our comfy, cozy, you know, sheltered, consumeristic life. And it might be challenging. It might. But it's so much more rewarding. See, being a disciple of Jesus, I mean, maybe you never heard this before, but being a disciple of Jesus can be hard. It can cost. It can. But it leads to something even greater. You know, ultimately, we know that, what the ultimate prize is, right? That Jesus has called us to eventually, one day, be in the presence with our Creator, our Savior, for eternity. Yes. But there's even more today. He wants even more for you today. Years ago when I did youth ministry, I oftentimes loved doing challenge courses or adventure trips, because there's nothing more cool than to take people and get them outside of their comfort zone, because it stretches them. And in the process of being out of your comfort zone and getting stretched, you learn. You grow. You are molded. You are shaped. And yet, every time when we went on one of these trips, there was some that would sit onto the sideline, and they wouldn't want to get involved. They wouldn't want to engage, right? And maybe it was because they were tired, or maybe it's because they were too cool, or maybe it was because they'd rather be at home playing on video games. I don't know. Maybe they were scared. Whatever it was, I would make it my goal to try to engage them, try to get them in. Most of the time, I was successful. And usually, at some point, I would say, okay, now, watch what I do and do it after me. And when they did, it might have been hard. Could have been exhausting. They could have even bumped and bruised something in the midst of it. But every time they overcame a challenge that they didn't think they could accomplish, they were blown away. Every time they were part of a group that had this unimaginable kind of thing that they had to accomplish and they were able to accomplish it, they were filled with joy. They were filled with pride and courage, and they built relationships with one another, and they built trust. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Is that for too long, we have fallen into this lie. We have fallen into this lie that being a disciple is all about attending and consuming and watching. But Jesus is inviting you to get off the sideline and actually jump in and join him. Actually follow him. And it may be hard, and it may be exhausting, it may cost, but it is so rewarding. It will grow you, it will mold you, it will shape you, it will change you. And again, we say this over and over again, okay? You are not saved by what you do. You're not saved by jumping off the sideline and getting involved. You are saved by the cross. You're saved by what Jesus did there. But come on, Jesus didn't go to the cross to die for you so that you could sit back and consume church and fill out comment cards and have a consumeristic kind of view of your faith. Now, that may be kind of a bold thing for me as a pastor to say to you. I get it. And I don't do it to tick you off. I don't do it to beat you up. I do it because God wants more for you. More than just filling a box. More than just sitting back. No, he invites you to come follow him. Learn from him. Be discipled by him. And in the process, disciple others to follow him. See, that's the last piece. Discipleship is more than just a lifelong learning and being molded by Jesus. It's more than dying to self. And discipleship is about making more disciples of Jesus. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 11. He says, follow me. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And it's this great picture. It's this picture of what we are to do. We're to say, hey, as I dive into an authentic relationship with Jesus, and as I study him and I seek him and I pray to him and I ask him, you know, how are you messing with me and how are you molding me? I do the same thing. I ask other people to follow me as I follow Jesus, just like Paul did. And I get it. Maybe you're thinking, oh, gosh, I'm no Paul. How could I do that? I'm pretty imperfect kind of example of following Jesus. I get that. I understand that. I'm an imperfect picture of following Jesus. But we are to invite other people to experience what we have experienced. And so discipleship is this lifelong journey. It's a journey of dying to self and looking to Jesus. It's about asking Jesus to mess with us. It's about asking, what do you want to do in me and through me? It's about inviting others to experience Jesus. So what if we... what if we died to this whole consumeristic view of faith and a relationship with Jesus? What if we looked at, you know, this place not as a restaurant of choice, but as a family, as a team, as a family on mission that together is following Jesus? What if out of thanksgiving to the grace that God has given, we jump with both feet right in, you know, in this journey of 24/7, 365 days of year, this journey of learning from, of following, of being molded and shaped by Jesus so that we might see what God might do in us and through us and around us. You know, as I was working on this message this week, I realized that, boy, we ended with one biggie. And I would have to throw a lot at you. And I realized that this is one of those non-negotiables we could spend a number of weeks on, and maybe someday we will. And so instead of going, boy, I don't know how to wrestle with this or how to apply this or what I really think of this, instead of just throwing it aside, my challenge is to do something with it. Take a step with it. And so here's specifically my challenge. As you think of your faith, as you think of your relationship with Jesus, what's one place that you can see how that consumeristic view comes in? And how can you make a change in something to, instead of consume, actually contribute? And use that first step as a way to go and follow Jesus, to be molded by Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. Empower to disciple over cater to consume. Amen.